In the precious name of Jesus, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I am glad this morning that you have come and that there is still a hunger in our community, that when Sunday morning comes that we can gather in God's house and we can worship the Almighty, the one that gives breath and life, strength, and whatever we need for each day, we can come and we can glorify his name. This morning, I have chosen to read my theme verse from Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This verse has been speaking to me lately. This verse reveals that what we think that we are is not necessarily what we are. John wrote this verse over 2,000 years ago as he was in the isle called Patmos. And I believe John was told by the ascended Christ to write this verse to the church of the Laodiceans. But even though they were written over 2,000 years ago, I believe they are amazingly fitting for our world today. I believe if we would draw a parallel between the Laodiceans and the state of our day, that there would be many, many similarities. The Laodiceans, they were a very prosperous and wealthy people. And I think we would all agree that in comparison to the rest of the world, we as Canadians, we are a very prosperous and wealthy people. Now, I want you to know that I do not intend this morning to compare our church to the church of Laodicea, but rather that the word of God would be spoken in such a way as to reveal to us what God is saying to that church. That we would heed God's word. And even though we live in the same prosperity as they did, that we would not become a church like that church. I want to talk a little bit about prosperity, first of all. In Deuteronomy 7, after God had brought out the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said to them in verse 6 of that chapter, "You are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Friends, I believe I can wholeheartedly say the same to us today. Even though we are not Jews, God has extended his grace to the Gentiles, because we read in Acts 10, verse 34, where Peter opened his mouth and he said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him," meaning we are accepted of God when we turn to God. Peter, he wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into a marvelous light." That is who we are. Paul, he told Titus in Titus 2, verse 14, Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Later on, he writes to the Corinthians, and he says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." Friends, God has chosen us. He has chosen us to be special, to be peculiar, to be different from the world. But then in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God gave them a warning. He said, "The land that you are going in to possess, there you will eat bread without scarceness." In other words, there is going to be plenty of food. And he said, "Your stones will be iron, and out of your hills you're going to dig brass," meaning that there will be mining in that area. Doesn't that sound a lot like our country? The oil, the potash, the diamond, the coal, the uranium. All of these are riches that God has given to this beautiful land of ours. Then he said in verse 10 of that chapter, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." You know, friends, God has given us all these beautiful resources, and he alone deserves the praise and the honor for all that we have and all that we are. Verse 11 of that chapter, it says, "Beware that you forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." And then he says in verse 19, God tells them what will happen if they do forget. He says, "And it shall be that if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." He doesn't say that maybe things aren't going to go well with you if you do that. He gives a very clear answer. He says, if you forget God, you shall surely perish. Laodicea was a city that lay in a very fertile valley. It was a prosperous city. They were known for some of their prosperity. They made eye medication that was known abroad. They were known for their abundance of wool. They had a beautiful kind of sheep that made many beautiful garments. Clothing is something that they had in abundance. It also says that they had much gold and wealth. Now, the Laodiceans were a people who put their trust in material prosperity. They put their trust in outward luxury, in physical health. They put their trust in the things of this world and the things of time. And friends, don't we see that that is exactly the things that the people of our nation are putting their trust in? Give men better housing, better pay, better working conditions, give them good health care, give them safety on the job, they will have everything that they need. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 30, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things." But then he says in the next verse, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Again, we see that we are supposed to be different. The nations seek after these things, but we are different. Friends, I want to say today, let's not make that same mistake. The Church of Laodicea in Scripture stands as a warning to those who are mindful only of the body, but they forget of the eternal soul. It stands as a warning to those who put their trust in material things and they forget about God. You know, the aim of God's church is not so much to change the condition of man as it is to change man. For if man are changed to become special people of God, then our condition will automatically change for the better. But if men do not change in heart to be special people of God, then they are miserable and poor and blind and naked. And God says they will surely perish. If you have your Bible with you, let's turn again to Revelation chapter 3. And I'll be reading verses 7 to 22. Now, my aim is to speak on the words that were spoken to the leader of the Laodicean church, but I want to use the words spoken to the Philadelphian church in contrast. Starting from verse 7 of Revelation 3, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The name Laodicea means people ruling. The name Philadelphia means brotherly love. Now we know that in true brotherly love, we must allow God to be ruling and not people ruling. If you read what the angel says to the Laodicean church, you find that that church is not commended for anything that they do. If you read what the angel says to the Philadelphian church, you find that the Philadelphian church is not reproved for anything that they do. Verse 14 says, "These things saith the Amen," meaning the one that hath a final word. You know, we as people, we sometimes have different views of different churches, and we see that a lot today because there's people that go from church to church to church. As people, we have different views. But this conveys to us that in the end, God will have the final say. So it doesn't really matter what people say about this church or that church. But what matters most is how God sees the church. The verse says, He is a faithful witness. Man is not always dependable, but we know that with God there is no wrong. He is a true witness. He has created everything. We are his creation. Therefore, we must take heed what he says, because he will have the final say. The Lord speaks to the Laodicean church, and he says, "I know your works." You'll find that if you study these seven churches written in Revelation, he says, "I know your works," about every one of them. And friends, the Lord knows the full and deep detail of our church. He said to them, "You are neither cold nor hot." He said, "I wish you were cold or hot." I have read a little bit on the city of Laodicea. They had one problem. That was, they didn't have water. So they had to get their water from one of two places. Either Colossae, which was close by, or Hierapolis, which was even closer. Colossae, they had nice cold water. Hierapolis, they had nice hot water from a hot spring. But by the time that Laodicea would get the cold water to their place, it was lukewarm. And by the time they would get the hot water to their place, it was lukewarm. And in that state, it was almost useless. You know, the Lord Jesus, he often made comparisons in local situations so that people could comprehend what he was trying to tell them. God said, because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Friends, I must say it frightens me when I think of the many people that call themselves Christians today, but they are so lukewarm in their faith. They only want to profess with their mouth, but their actions are different. They take no solid stand for what the scriptures say. Many will say when it comes to a controversial item, oh, I am neutral. I don't want to go there. Friends, if we do not stand up for what the scriptures say, then in reality, what good are we to Christ? Jesus said in Mark 8, verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Are we going to stand in that day? Jesus said, because you are not cold or hot, you are repulsive to me. The words spoken to the Laodicean church, like I said, were spoken over 2,000 years ago, but they so describe many a church today. Then I ask myself the question, is the Lord pleased with the way that we stand up for the truth? Will we stand in the test of time, or will we give in because the stand that we have taken thus far is not popular with the world? In verse 19, Jesus is saying to the Laodiceans, I love you. And because I do, I rebuke you and punish you. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The word hot in verse 15 and the word zealous in verse 19, they come from the same Greek word, zeo, or somewhat like that. Zeo, I think, is the pronunciation. And that word means to boil. Jesus longs for a church that is on fire for the Lord. One that longs for the truth and stands for the truth. Zeal is a thing that was lacking in the Laodicean church. Christ would have a church that is zealous for God, for the Lord's interests, zealous in the gospel ordinances, zealous in the discipline of his house, and against anything that is evil, against all false worship, or worship that serves only self. Zealous to proclaim the whole word of God and to do away with false doctrine. Friends, now in contrast, I ask you to look at verse 8 of that chapter and listen to what he says to the Philadelphian church. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Friends, what kind of a picture do you get when you read of that verse? The verse says God gave them an open door for a reason. He says, you have little strength. So today we look at people that, or places that have big strength. We want big strength, but this church only has a little strength. I'm thinking maybe it doesn't look like it is a church that has a lot of clout or. But they have two things. He says, thou hast kept my word and not denied my name. You know, these are two very important standards for a true church. Faithfulness to the word of God and faithfulness to the name of Jesus. You know, those are two things that we see are slowly falling away. People are starting to say there are other ways to heaven than Jesus. Verse 9 says that there will be opposition. He says, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. What a vast difference between these two churches. To one, he says, because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. To the other one, he says, I will make them know that I have loved thee. Jesus gives the Philadelphian church beautiful promises. He says in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. You know, friends, unless God will keep us in the hour of temptation, you and me, we are in trouble. The verse says the temptation will come on all the world. None of us will be left out. But verse 11 encourages us to hold fast to that which the Philadelphian church had, because Jesus is coming soon. Now in verse 17, we read that the Laodicean church thought that they had everything they needed, but the Lord saw exactly the opposite. And in verse 18, Jesus offers to them the things that they need, and he still offers those things to you and me today. He offers gold tried in a fire, meaning that which will stand the test of time. Friends, what are we going to stand on when everything else in life fails? There is only one thing that we can be assured of great value when everything in this life fails. And that is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through him. He offers white raiment to cover their nakedness. I believe this refers to the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Without his forgiveness, we will someday stand before God's all-seeing eyes, naked and ashamed of the wrong that we have committed. And then he offers them an eye salve to take away their blindness. I ask you today, friends, where does revelation come from? It is only through the Word of God. It is only through the Holy Spirit that gives revelation and insight of what is to come. Unless we have these in our life, we are blind and we cannot see where we are going. Paul said to the Ephesians, don't walk like the other Gentiles walk, in the emptiness of the mind, or in the vanity of their mind, meaning in fruitless action, in empty pleasure. Of little use, or of no value. He said their understanding is darkened. They don't know what the Word of God says. He said they are alienated from the life of God through ignorance. They are taken away from the life of God. Now I want to back up a little bit to verse 16. Jesus says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He says, I will. The I will in this verse in the Greek language means I intend to, I am ready to, or I am about to. The I will has a delay. And in verse 19, Jesus, in his great love, he is asking them to repent. This word, repent, means to feel sorrow over the wrong that we have done. It means to change one's mind from a wrong course. It means to leave off our sin life and turn the other direction. God says in verse 20, or Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The church of Laodicea had everything, but they didn't have the Lord Jesus. Friends, Jesus enters the church through the hearts of individuals. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You know, in the world today, there are many, many individuals that go from one step in life to the next step in life without Jesus. There are people today that choose their careers in life all by themselves, and Jesus is standing without, wanting to help them. There are people that are going through schooling and they don't allow Jesus to lead them. There are young men and ladies that seek courtship and they do it on their own. Jesus is standing at the door. He wants to help you. There are young couples that are getting married. They do it without the plans of Jesus. And There are people that have a lot of financial problems because they leave Jesus outside. Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, it doesn't matter who we are, Jesus is longing to have a part in our life and to have a part in everything in our life. In closing, I want to say, God let both the Philadelphian church and the Laodicean church know that he loved them. And friends, today I want to say I believe the Lord loves our church. He loves you as an individual. But today God is saying one of two things to you. He is either saying, hold fast that which thou hast, or he is saying, be zealous and repent. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence again at the close of this service. We realize that your word is the word that gives insight. You have a longing to be a part of our life. You stand at the door and knock. If only we open, you will come in. So, Father in heaven, I pray this morning that all of us that are present here today would allow you to have entry into our life. Lord, may you give us insight. May you lead us and guide us. May you protect us in this evil day of the many things that are out there to deceive us. I pray, Heavenly Father, for our young people. I pray that they would realize the importance of God's word. Pray, Heavenly Father, that they would each one of us would realize how we need you in everyday life. Heavenly Father, may you be with those that are hurting, those that are struggling, those that are going through sicknesses. May you uphold them with your grace and your love. You have said in your word that you love them. And we thank you for the love that you had toward us and that you sent your son, Jesus, to provide a way, to give hope when everything else fails. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we do not have to stand before you naked, that we can receive forgiveness of our sin. We thank you that you have provided a white raiment for those who cry out to you. Lord, as we leave from here, may you bring back to our memory the words that you have spoken to us. May you do a work through the church that the community may see more of your greatness. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would let our lights shine as we go from here for your honor and for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, we need the Lord every hour. In joy or pain, in good times and in bad times, we need the Lord. May we never forget that we are his creation, that he deserves our honor and our praise. He deserves everything from us, our whole lives. May we dedicate them to him in this time. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank each and every one of you that has come. whether you are young or old. It's been an encouragement to see you here. I know that the Lord is blessed when you come to worship him. So thanks for coming this morning, for being here. Shall we just bow for the closing benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You are dismissed, and may the peace of the Lord go with you.